Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal of liberation from conditional life? Purport. Being in the material world is certainly miserable. Haribo. But certainly when one is put in the association of asuras or atheistic men, it is intolerably miserable. One may ask why the living entity is put into the material world. Indeed, sometimes foolish people deride the Lord for having put them here. Actually, everyone is put into the conditional life according to his karma. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, representing all other conditioned souls, admits that he was put into the life among the asuras because of the results of his karma. The Lord is known as Kripana Vatsala because he is extremely kind to the conditioned souls, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the Lord appears whenever there are discrepancies in the execution of religious principles. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata tadatmanham srujamyaham. The Lord is extremely anxious to deliver the conditioned souls, and therefore he instructs all of us to return home back to Godhead. Sarva dharmam pradichyatyam mam ekam saranam vraja. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj expected that the Lord, by his kindness, would call him again to the shelter of his lotus feet. In other words, everyone should be eager to return home back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. So Sri Prahlad Maharaj is representing all of us by this prayer. It is explained that the living entity is placed into this material existence, life after life, by the results of one's karma. Karma daivanatrena, that one takes birth according to karma. What takes birth? The soul cannot take birth. Nor do you have a body to take birth with. So what does it mean to take birth? You are given a body, and that is called birth. Body's not yours. We might say it's my body, but it's something that's been given to you. Everybody has a body. Everybody, body. So that body is, as Prabhupada mentions in one tape, one lecture, he says, the body is given by the agency of material energy through the mother and the father, according to how one accumulated karma manifests at that particular time, which is called birth. So that, therefore, in one sense, we have nothing to do with the body we get, but in the other sense, we have everything to do with the body we get. Because the way the living entity performs activities more or less sets the stage for the consciousness that develops through these activities, and that consciousness perpetuates us to become more and more involved in material energy. And due to the nature of that involvement, one gets a particular type of body. So everything is coming by one's desire, ultimately. So how is it possible that Prahlad Maharaj can be speaking that due to my past karma, I was placed in the association of demons? Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahabhagavat. He's not a conditioned soul, but he's come on a particular mission in order to teach pure devotional principles to the conditioned souls, and to teach the quality of what it means to practice Krishna consciousness. Out of all the 9 processes of devotional service, the quality or the activity of remembrance seems to be the goal. To chant the holy names and to hear about the glories of the Lord and to serve the Lord in various ways accordingly means to solidify our consciousness or develop our consciousness where we never forget Krishna. So remembrance is actually the goal of devotional service, to always remember Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was remembering Krishna even in the time when he was in his womb. He heard from his spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni, eternal religious principles and pure devotional activities, what it means to practice pure devotional activities. He remembered everything, and when he appeared, actually, there was nothing for him to attain to. He was already fully self-realized. Not only fully self-realized, he was on the highest platform above bhava or bhakti. He had pure love for Krishna. But yet he's praying. Now, due to my karma, I've been placed in this situation where I have to associate not only with the material energy, but with demons. As Prabhupada writes here, it is certainly miserable to be in the material world. Of course, sometimes that statement seems to be a little bit hard to fully grasp for some of us due to some good fortune in material life, some wealth, some position, some good bodily features, some good educational acumen, many, many things. But actually, all of these things that seem to be sources of happiness in the material world just bind one to the consciousness that one can be happy through these things, which diverts one's attention away from the real goal of life, can divert one's attention. And what is their real goal of life? Is to always remember Krishna and to engage in devotional service. Therefore, Queen Kunti, we can mention Queen Kunti. She is the ideal example of a personality who had everything material. She was a queen. She had 2 good families, the Vrishnis and the Pandavas, and she was honored and respected by all. And her nephew was Krishna. But she somewhat condemns her material situation, not somewhat, somehow, but she actually does and says it's simply causing me to become forgetful of you. Therefore, give me some misery. She's asking for misery. She's not just saying that as a way to teach, but she's actually feeling that all this material opulence is causing me forgetfulness of you. And that's worse. Better to be in a miserable condition and remember you, and be in a good material condition, and because of that, have a tendency to divert my attention away from you. So, Prahlad Maharaj, of course, he can never forget the Lord. But in his devotion, he's praying, "My dear Lord, you put me in association of demons." We might look around and we might think, well, what does it mean to be an association of demons? And Prabhupada, or actually Srimad Bhagavad Gita, describes what are the qualities of demons. They're attached to the temporary. They think sex life is the goal. They think material achievements are what one should aspire for. They're very much in the mood of competition with other living entities over the resources of the material energy in various ways. And therefore, they're very harsh and very difficult in all their activities. Their natures are very, very, what we say, disturbed and always angry. So when you look around, you might say, well, that's what goes on every day. So yes, we are also been put into the association of those who are not demons, but are exhibiting demoniac characteristics. So in the same way, it's almost like being in the association of one who is a demon, because these qualities are manifested in society as something that goes on regularly. So these prayers are ultimately not simply euphemistic or just for Prahlad Maharaj. We've been also put into the association of demons. So what is he praying for? Please, he's asking the Lord, when will a moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet? This is Vaishnava humility. Not like, I have the ability to take shelter of your lotus feet and I'm going to do it. And it's not like my determination and my, what we say, understanding will bring me to the shelter of your lotus feet. It's by your mercy that I can achieve the shelter of your lotus feet. Even though I have that desire, unless your mercy manifests it, I'll never be able to achieve that. So this is Vaishnava humility. One doesn't even demand from Krishna something that is worth, you know, everything, which is the shelter. One prays, my dear Lord, please, I'm so fallen. But what is he's also saying is that I'm still attached to the material energy. And therefore, because of that attachment, I can't get out. Because of that attachment, I need your mercy to get to your lotus feet. Please cut away this association. Bring me to your lotus feet. That's the prayer, the humble prayer of a pure Vaishnava. And then he goes on to say, which is the goal of life? It's not something that one should just aspire for. It's the only thing that one should aspire for, is the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And what does the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord mean? It means pure devotional service, or to engage in devotional service. Therefore, the greatest benediction that one can achieve in life is the opportunity to engage in pure devotional service. We look around, and people have what we call their own concocted ideas of what is something that is worth achieving, such as a good position, some position where one can be in control, or have some idea that one is in control, or some pecuniary attainment, money, or one can have, you know, followers, or some kind of good intelligence where one can understand things clearly, good intelligence. Even demons have very good intelligence. Just look at the technology on today's market. Amazing, the technology. Someone was just saying the other day, we were talking about this in Prashadam, that, of course I never heard it until we were speaking, that I mentioned that the demons have technology that's about 30 years ahead of the times. In other words, 30 years of what is available to the common people. And one devotee said, yes, when they went in to kill Osama bin Laden, they had these little things on their helmets, and people in Washington were watching it on the cameras. They could actually watch it on it, like a TV set. They were watching this whole scene as the soldiers were going in to kill. That's technology. The demons are really quite, what we say, versatile. And Prabhupada says that the demons have good material intelligence. So one may think that's an achievement. But Lord Chaitanya gives the example, or gives the expression, that these things simply are botherations, not dhanam, not janam. Nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamoye. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in describing the philosophical teachings of this verse, gives an extra added, what we say, reason or understanding of sundarim. Sometimes we think sundarim only means attraction to the opposite sex. But he says that sundarim also means that I don't want to be known as a great orator of transcendental knowledge who can speak very nicely about Vedic topics. Because that also will bring a sense of individual pride. So he's rejecting that too. He's rejecting everything that can cause one to be diverted from the principle of pure devotional service. Even, and he goes on, Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavitad Bhakti Ahoy Tuki Tui. I don't even want liberation. Everyone wants freedom from suffering in this material world, because this material world is simply a place of suffering. So what is life in this world? Two things: to avoid the suffering and try to access some pleasure. That's all. If you carefully analyze everyone's activities and put it into two categories, everyone is doing whatever they can to enjoy life and to avoid suffering. And they may do it in different ways, or they may plan it in different ways, but that's really what the whole material world is about. How to find happiness, how to avoid some difficulties and suffering. So, but what is the worst kind of suffering? And that was explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he asked Srila Ramananda Roy, what is the greatest of all misery? He said, separation, or not having the association of a pure devotee or a great soul, is the greatest cause of suffering. Because only by that association can one achieve the goal of life, and that is pure devotional service. So that is the greatest form of suffering, to not have the opportunity to associate with Vaishnavas, and especially, particularly pure Vaishnavas. So here, Prahlad Maharaj, he's already pure. He's the association himself. He doesn't need association to somehow elevate his consciousness to the platform of pure devotional service. He can give association. But he's speaking for us who are in this material world, that in the association, I've been placed in the association of demons. But in another sense, you may look at it from another perspective. He's thinking, yeah, why did the Lord put me in this association? But then again, the Lord has a purpose. This is another interesting point. When we're placed in a certain situation, there's a reason why we're in that situation. And there's a way to get out of that situation, or the way there to make that situation as an opportunity to improve our situation. How do we do that? When we accept the situation as the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, he says, I've been placed in the association of demons. I didn't choose it. It's not my desire that I've been here, but somehow I'm here. So now I want to get out. So a devotee also thinks like that. So therefore, one has to aspire for the association of great souls. And that is the basis of all success. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the first canto, it is explained that simply by association of great souls, one can free themselves from all material suffering, and one can attain to the platform of pure devotional service. Not just devotional service. We don't want pure devotional service. There are many who want just devotional service. But pure devotional service is really devotional service. What is devotional service outside of pure devotional service? It's mixed with something that I want, whatever that is. We were hearing the other day from Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj what is the nature of selfless service? How to develop a mood of selflessness? We were discussing the mood of the gopis. And when we think about it, we think, wow, that is way beyond my present situation, how to aspire for selflessness. But, you know, even selflessness is selfish because it's the highest form of selfishness, because by being selfish, you can fulfill all your desires. And by being less than selfless and being selfish, you are depriving yourself. Because by being adding what I want into the process of devotional service takes away what you really need. And what it, and that is pure love of God, which comes by selfless devotional service. So how to attain selfless devotional service? It's not very easy to attain. But the main thing is to associate with those who are either aspiring or performing that type of service. Because association is so powerful. This whole verse is centered around the power of association and how that association is the difference between success and what we say failure in any activity we perform. So Prahlad Maharaj is praying in that way, that please give me the shelter of your lotus feet out of the association of those who are demoniac. And that's the prayer of a devotee. One wants association. As Prabhupada said, everything centers around association. Sometimes devotees mistakenly think, that to associate is too difficult. Because in the association, I'm somewhat restricted. But actually, one who understands that in the association of devotees, Krishna is purifying that personality. When we accept that Krishna works through his devotees, then association of devotees is the greatest opportunity to get the association of Krishna. Because through the association of his devotees, Krishna gives the opportunity for pure devotional service, either through inspiration or through, cutting away the anarthas, and whatever those anarthas may be, false pride or the ability to think one is okay. As soon as you think you're okay, it's an indication you're not. That's how devotional service works. When we start thinking in a way that is contrary to our situation. Prahlad Maharaj, he's not in the association of demons. He's in the proximity of the same area. But association means affection for those who have those qualities that you're associating with. He has no affection for that demoniac qualities, nor is he influenced by that association. So therefore, he's praying for us to show us that we should aspire only for the, and Prabhupada mentions this in the purport. One should pray, everyone should be eager and offer prayers to return back to the lotus feet of the Lord. And Prabhupada sums up, what does it mean? The lotus feet of the Lord, to go back home, back to Godhead. So sometimes we think, of course, there's two schools of thought. Some say one should not aspire to go back to Godhead. And another school says one should aspire to go back to Godhead. One should aspire only for that service which is free from any aspiration, even a desire to go back to Godhead. But first aspire to go back to Godhead, and then when that becomes strong, then aspire not to go back to Godhead. Because before you can get to the other aspect, you have to at least want to be out of this material world. And what is the other aspect is that Prabhupada was on a morning walk with his devotees, it was Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. As Prabhupada, are there some devotees that never go back to Godhead and they stay in the material world and preach? Prabhupada said, yes. their service to the Lord is somehow always to engage in bringing the conditioned souls back to the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, that is, and why you might say, a confidential devotee, or one who is on that level, is engaging in confidential devotional service. But at least we should aspire for what Prabhupada says here. We take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Jai Shri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. I don't want anything of this material world. That is the prayer that's being said here. Because as soon as we want anything in this material world, we're put in the association of demons. Or those who have the qualities that are somewhat demoniac. Because to fulfill material desires, one has to work hard. It's hard to fulfill material desires. You know why? Stupid question, but because you can't. That's the whole thing. No one can fulfill material desires, because fulfillment of material desires means that one is more or less planting seeds for further suffering. So when you fulfill a material desire, you plant a seed that brings about another form of suffering. That's all. And what is that? You get what you want, but it causes you difficulty, or you lose it in time. That's all. Material life. Can't win, can't stop playing. That's the material world. So, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, if you listen to Prabhupada's, probably many of you do, Prabhupada's morning walks, he brings out so many interesting points on the morning walk conversations. Things that you not even find them in his books many times. And someone asked Prabhupada, the mode of goodness. We understand the mode of goodness is characterized by happiness. So how is it you say that there's no, Prabhupada was just giving a very, very long discussion on how there's no happiness in this material world. And then one devotee asked this question, what about the mode of goodness, which brings about happiness? Prabhupada says, the feature of the mode of goodness is knowledge. And that knowledge teaches you there's no happiness. So that is the main feature of the mode of goodness. Illumination. Or in the other modes, no one has clear knowledge of anything. In the mode of ignorance, there's no knowledge. One is in darkness. That's why ignorance is compared to darkness. One is simply on the gross bodily level, simply trying to fulfill material desires in any way possible. In passion, one has some understanding of how the material energy works and is trying to fulfill material desires through hard labor or endeavor, using various means to achieve that. That's passion. In the mode of goodness, one is trying to actually find happiness through pious activities and developing all good qualities and cultivating knowledge. But even that ultimately is temporary, because these pious activities and the knowledge that one cultivates, at least in relationship to the material energy, is always wrong, because material energy is always changing. It's always changing. So we take the words of Prahlad Maharaj, that we are all aspiring for the lotus feet of the Lord and getting outside the association of what we say bad association, of that association which is undesirable. Okay, any questions, comments?